on the studies on the book of Jude. Maybe a little more power on this section. All right. And first Sunday of the month is always a beautiful Sunday. We can speak about Jesus because he's our Lord's Supper. All right. There is a room right here in, beside Lisandro. All right. We allow Iranians to sit here. All right. Our church is a mosaic of races. And I was explaining in the Bible conference I did in San Jose Friday and Saturday how blessed I am that our church is a mosaic of real show that Christianity reaches everywhere. I said that the book of Jude will be picked up on the 14, two or three more sermons to cover that drama of awareness about the church in our age. But I like on the first Sunday of the month, because we have the Lord's Supper, I really like to talk about Jesus. And today I want to talk about the passion of the Lord Jesus. And the reason is that if you turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians, and in the outline provided for you, there is a page number in case you need that kind of help. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 23 to 26, you have in a nutshell the beauty of what is the Lord's Supper. And I want to pick up in a word there and develop that word in our message on the passion of the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul tells the church of Corinth, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you." He was questioned by this and criticized by this, saying that he never saw the Lord, and it's true, he never saw the Lord at the time of the crucifixion, but the Lord visited with him in Arabia, as you know. Now the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." My body is gone. Dead. 25. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." Notice New Testament, New Covenant. No longer Israel covenant of the book of Leviticus with the five offerings, but this is new. "These do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." And look at verse 26. "For as often as ye eat this bread," doesn't say you have to do it all the Sundays, doesn't say when, but "as often as you do the Lord's Supper and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's" what? "Death." That's called the passion. Not too long ago, much controversy has surrounded the movie, The Passion of Christ, by Mel Gibson, remember? And that movie only emphasized one area of the passion, the physical sufferings of the Lord Jesus. And that when you see the movie, you were touched by the drama. If you go to Matthew 26, for example, and you look in verse 67, I can give you a better drama than the movie. I can give you the passion in the scripture. And that will call your attention of what that drama really was. In Matthew 26 and verse 67 said, "Then they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hand." That's the way that they treat our Savior. If you go to chapter 27, look at verse 26. "Then released he Barnabas unto them." This is after the judgment. "And when he had scourged Jesus," that means he really beat Jesus, "he delivered him to be crucified." This is called the passion. "Then the soldiers," or the governors, "took Jesus unto the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe." That's an imitation of a king. "And when they had plaited a crown of horns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they spit upon him and took reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify. Now, Gibson had portrayed that in the movie, and it's nothing wrong in the sense of what he has done in portraying the sufferings of our Lord. But you know, this is just the physical narration of the sufferings. The sufferings imply entirely different for us and for you and for me. The sufferings, the passion of Christ, yes, need to be emphasized, need to be said. And it's good if you show your children how much Jesus suffered, but you have to tell them why. And the why is not the physical, because he had no sin upon him. Nobody can prove any sin. So I'm going to emphasize the passion of the Lord Jesus, and tells you what that passion really reveals. I know you know it, but we'll bring back into your memory and bring back into your heart words of thanksgiving to God for sending us the high priest who died on our behalf. So we work together in the scripture, all right? Here's what we're going to do. The first thing that the passion of the Lord Jesus revealed is the condemnation of sin. Condemnation of sin. God put the finger on sin. Jesus suffered. Why? Jesus suffered because of sin. As foretold, he died for our sins. Look at here in 1 Corinthians. If you go in your Bible to 1 Corinthians, in chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there the Bible tells us in a wonderful way, verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 31 on. Look at what the Bible says. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men, pardon me? 1, 2, 3, excuse me. I have this Korean computer. All right, here it is. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, since ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. And look at here, the explanation. For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scripture. He died for my sins. You do not pay for your sins. You don't have enough to pay for your sin, because God demands purity. God demands a life faultless. And you cannot have it. And so because even when you are born in sin, said the Bible. And so therefore you are a sinner from birth. And so God gave us his son who paid for our sin. He gave himself for our sins. And Galatians, you're in Corinthians, keep on to the right, you get 2 Corinthians and soon the book of Galatians in chapter 1. In verse 4, the Bible said, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. He gave himself for our sin. Not only you don't provoke him, you don't invite him, you care less about him. When from birth we never have God in mind, but God have you in mind, and so brought you that wonderful salvation. Then he bore our sins on the cross. 1 Peter chapter 2, the Bible in verse 24, page 1322, will explain that. 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 24, who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree, on the cross, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. And so the condemnation of sin was the suffering, was expressed in the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. The fact that he suffered, yes, it's true, but he suffered because of your sins and my sins. He suffered not because of the culture, not because of the misunderstanding. He suffered because that was God's plan. No man can save another man. God only can save man. And the only provision for mankind was Jesus. That's the problem with people. The religion was created by Satan so that you now want to be saved, but you move from the focus of Jesus into something else. And that's not possible. Look in Ephesians. Go to the left from Peter. You get Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 7, page 1272, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. This is what is valid today. This is the revelation of the condemnation of sin. In verse 7 we read, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Christ pay with his sin the price required for sin. If you bring 10 African $1 coins, we love it, but that do not pay anything. That maybe balance the budget, but that doesn't make any contribution for salvation. As much as the treasury and the deacons would love to have an offering like that. Please don't do it. I know you can do it, but don't do it for salvation, please. Please. Don't give a penny in the offering for salvation. Because it's worthless. Everything that needs to be given was done. The life of a pure son of God. On Calvary's cross. He died. For your sins. He died. Gibson had no idea. I wrote to him a big letter. Thank you for the emphasis. Bad. You missed the boat. Read your King James Bible. Take those books that you are reading away. And do a movie on the King James Bible with a purpose. And get a preacher over there. And let him preach after you have the movie. I tell you, this is important. You do not make contribution for sin. There is nothing we have in our life that can take away sin except the blood of Christ our Lord. Amen. That's what Satan fights. I never forgot talking to a Jewish professor in Clear Lake. You know, I was a sportman when I was young. I'm still young, but I was young. And I was preaching for the young people in Clear Lake in a big conference ground on the Baptist conference ground. And one other person said, just recently a professor of physics and education from Los Angeles moved here for his vacation. He's a fanatic sportman. He's a Jew. He reads his Bible. But he makes a mockery of Jesus. So I go and see him. So we visit with him and we talk a little bit. And he loved one's idea. There wasn't a sport and so on. And a sport was his God. But he said to me, he said, you know what the difficulty in believing Christianity is? I cannot believe that Jesus died and I'm saved. So no, you're not saved because he died. You're saved when you believe it. So you're unsaved because you don't believe it. Now that he died is true. So yes, I agree. It's true. History said he died. Now, don't tell me that he rose again, he said. Well, I don't tell you. I just read it. Let me see here. I got the Bible. And I read it for him. That's the best way, brother. Because that's not my opinion now. It's God's opinion. I read it. And then he said, well, that Bible is wrong. Had too many books after Malachi. I said, well, give me your Bible in Malachi. Open in Psalm 16, verse 10. See? He said, my soul will not see Seol and will be in the presence of the mighty God. He said, who he's talking about? Now we are talking. Who David is talking about? You know, you look like the old guy, the black fellow from Ethiopia. Oh, he got mad. The black fellow? Me, a black fellow? Yeah, you're just like the black fellow. Go to Acts 8. And I went on and on and on and on and showed him that fellow believed. And you white fellow do not believe. and I'm half and half, and I believe. And it's so wonderful. Don't miss the boat. It's not your race. It's not your position in life. It's not the house you live, the car you drive. It is the blood of Christ. It is the blood of Christ. Now also, the passion of Jesus revealed the revelation of love. You have not seen love until you see Jesus. Look at the love of the Father. Go with me to Romans chapter 5, verse 8, page 1227. Romans chapter 5, and verse 8. The love of the Father. Look at here. Romans 5, 8. But God commended His love toward us. God the Father, see? Theos. But God commended His love to us, and that while we were yet sinners, while we care less about God, He cared about us, and He sent Christ to die for us. He sent the Messiah. See, that word Christ means Christos in Greek, which means Messiah in Hebrew. He sent the Messiah to die for us. When you have nothing to do with God, when you, like this professor told me, I had nothing to do with Jesus. Well, that's okay. I did also the same. I had nothing to do with Jesus. It's for old people. I thought my grandmother was too old. She was 65. Now, I think she was very young at that time. But look at this. The Bible said that he died for me. He knew that I was helpless. And so God knew that I have no sentiments from God. I had no emotions from God. I have nothing to do with God. So He died for me. Have you date young people, a girl that you said, "Oh, I love you," and she says, "Oh, I think so," and leave you alone? And then you go the next time and say, "Well, I love you. I want to marry you." So, "Oh, forget it, you know." And then you take it again, and he said, "You know, I want to visit with you." You go to their house and spend time, and say, "I have nothing to do with you. You are too tall, or you are too skinny, or you are a soccer player. I don't like you." And you keep on loving. Finally, you marry her. I did. All right. Took me 7 years, but I did. I told her, "I'm going to marry that girl, and I'm going to love her regardless of what she said." Now, she learned to love me. We will not marry unless we love each other. She learned to love me. But at the beginning, it was a total rejection. It was like a wall. You know, me, the soccer player, I bring the newspapers. Look at the picture. See, I was talking about me, not about her. And that's wrong. That's what we do to God. No, God, look me. God said, "You're a sinner." Then we don't want to talk to God anymore. God's still talking to us. And He's still bringing things in our way that we can see Him. Beautiful. The love of the Father. Look at the love of the Son. Ephesians 5:2. You're in Ephesians. You're in Romans. Go to the right. You get to Ephesians quickly. And look at the love of the Son. 5:2. Ephesians 5 and verse 2. "And walk in love as Christ also have loved us and have given Himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling Savior." That's the book of Leviticus in chapter 3, the third offering of the law. Christ loved you. Christ loved that professor and he didn't know. Christ loved us. He's telling the church the reason why you are saved. He tells the church of Ephesus is because Christ loves you. Not only the Father loves you, the Son loves you. If you go back to Romans again in chapter 5 and in verse 5, you find that the Spirit of God loves you. Romans 5:5 says, "And hope maketh no ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us." We are so, with a lack of understanding, we have such a dry heart for God that God sent the Holy Spirit and it smashed us until we say, "Oh, I see it." It was not for the Holy Spirit. No one of us will understand one word of this Bible. take a chat. Go to McDonald's now. Pay a coffee for somebody and say, now I want to read this for you and tell me what they said. And they tell you, what? What is that? Especially if the Spanish Bible is archaic. I use my Spanish Bible from the 1600 because I'm afraid the new Bible. And so I read that and I say, what that word mean? What the other word mean? That give me more room to speak. But I tell you, people have no idea. If it's not for the Holy Spirit, I will not be preaching to you. Pastor Thompson will not be studying and losing his money and his profession and giving his life to the Lord. And Mrs. Thompson will say to the husband, you're stupid. You cannot go to seminary. You ruined my life. I marry you and we want to make money, have prosperity. See, without the Holy Spirit, we don't understand God. And so, the passion of Christ revealed the love of God. God love you. The Son love you. The Holy Spirit love you. Wow. People say, we are lucky. No, we are blessed. Take that word lucky out of your mouth. We are blessed. Finally, the passion of Christ revealed the redemption of the world. Go with me to 1 Timothy. That's a book that I read every month because I'm a pastor, and the best way to keep myself online is to read Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want to read verse 1 to 6. The redemption of the world. God desires all men to be saved, not desiring any to perish. Look at here. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I read it, verses 1 to 6. I exhort, or I counsel, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So you can pray for Obama. It's okay. All right? For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good, and look the next word. And acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Who? The word will is not buloma. Because if God will, everybody will be saved. The word is thelema, which means desire. God desire have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And so don't look any place else for salvation. It is Christ and Christ alone. It is not in the Baptist world. It is not in the Roman Catholic world. It is not in the Pentecostal world. It is in Christ Jesus our Savior, please. He is the Savior for everybody. They asked me yesterday in San Jose, can you name the nationalities of the people? So I can mention the races. We have a Filipino group in our church. We have Korean people. And the other day, well, I was scared. There were more Koreans coming in. Remember, there was a couple from San Jose, another couple from another place. I said, what's happening? Because I'm too old to learn the language. And maybe I'm not too smart to learn it. They're very smart people. And so I said, hi, Korea. I had Chinese people. They're all short, easy to handle. I said, it's just fantastic. Don't worry, Dan. It's okay. And my wife is just telling me no. But it's a... it's fantastic. I had Japanese people. Nobuko's not here. I wish to have from every nation of the world, don't we? For every nation of the world. Even to have Argentinians on it. I have some Mexicans. We accept it. All right. I have Leo with me in the conference. All right. I told him in the conference, I said, the worst person of my church, I brought in as an example to you. And we have a great time, eh, Leo? We have a great time with people. Over there, too, there were Spanish, but there were Peruvians, and there were these. You know, each nation in Spain is different because depend how Europe conquers Latin America, that you have the races, very strong races, one to another, see? The South America do not accept Mexico at all. They feel that they are Europeans, mine. What do you think Mexicans are? European, too, are French. All right. So you see, all the races together, they have only one common denominator. Jesus Christ can save all. That's what the creature said. Doesn't matter what your race is. Doesn't matter what language you speak. Jesus Christ can say all. So God desires all men to be saved, but it's through Christ. Therefore, he offered Jesus as a propitiation for everybody. Look at the end of your Bible in 1 John, just before Revelation. 1 John, chapter 2 in 1 John. After Jesus tell us in verse 1 that we have a lawyer with God. In verse 2, he tell us that we have someone that God has accepted as our lawyer and as our payoff for our sin. The Bible said in 1 John 2, 2, for he is the payoff of sin or propitiation. That's a Hebrew word for the ceremonial law. For our sins, and not for ours only, said the Apostle John from Patmos, but also for the sins of the whole world. Whatever race you are, God bless you. You are born in the right race. But I tell you, if you are not born in Christ, you are not born in the kingdom of God. Your race may represent your background, German, and we met some Mayas yesterday. First time. I know the Aztecas, but I never met the Maya Peninsula people, which is Cancun today in fancy words. That's the Maya people. They're short, 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 and tiny, tiny children. And the guy came in, the tiny child, the Maya guy came in and recite Psalm 135, 35 verses, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta in Spanish. And then in Maya language. Tiny, he cannot read, 5 years old. His father was converted. Maya. See? The Yucatan Peninsula, all Cancun, all these fancy places, is heavy Indian. It's the Maya Indian. The Maya Indian are the worst Indians you can have as neighbors. They shoot you all the time. They want to conquer. The Aztecas were the mathematicians. The Mayas were the warriors. They want to conquer. And now in Christ, I see these Maya, tiny little... The guy doing all the Bible by memory with all of us men. It was a men conference. All of us ashamed. See, Jesus is the propitiation for our sin. Don't offer Jesus, God, anything except your heart. And you say, God, I'm here. Take it all there. Jesus, take it all. Jesus is the hope for the entire world. And John 14, 6 said, what did he say? I am. You want to see it? I want you to see it. I know we can recite it by memory. But let's see. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Look at what the Bible says. In the words of our Jesus. All right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Is that clear? You cannot go to God in the name of the Roman Catholic Church. You cannot go to God in the name of the Protestant Church. You cannot go to God in the name of the Arabs people or the Buddha people. You have to go to God in the name of Jesus. Otherwise, you are gone to hell forever. My friend, what are you going to do? Are you going to still deny in Christ and live your life ignoring Christ? And this is a nice place to be in Bethel Church. All nice people, all rich and famous, and so good to be with them. We have accountants and inventors and all kinds of people in our church. Wonderful. In the extended church, we have people in New Mexico. We have people in Southern California. They call us and say, your church, what day can we go and visit? We want to be for a week with you because your church is my church in Southern California. Now we have on the inside of California another family who are part of the extended church. And we have people in Philadelphia who write to us and they're afraid because we're going to close the tape ministry. So what are we going to do? I said, we buy for you a tape player. And they want to know if our CD can be played in a tape player and not only in the computer. And Brother Thomason will know. But I tell you, it's amazing. We have people everywhere only because we preach Christ Jesus our Lord. There is no other way that you can get to heaven except Jesus. There is no other way that you can really live a successful life unless Jesus is your Lord. He is your Savior, but He needs to be your Lord. First thing we taught in the Bible conference for many is when you receive your paycheck, you cut 10% of that paycheck and you give it to your local church. Otherwise, God will cut 50% or 100% from you. I don't want to scare anybody, but that's what God said. I was speaking to men. I said, you love your wife regardless if enchiladas are cold or not. Oh, the Mexicans were mad. You don't come to me and say, well, I style and I race. We command our wife. They don't say, darling. They say, you come here. That's the way they speak. They say, this is the way we do it. Now you have Christ. He's Lord. You don't say that. You come here to your wife because she is you. I tell you, God changed your life. So I close with the text that is in our outline, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. Look at what the Bible says. This outline came from the King James Bible, reformed in the year 1881. It's called the Revised Standard Bible number 1. And in the Greek language, it's a great translation for the Greek language. We don't use it to preach because sometimes the words are in the back, but it is a great translation. The Revised Standard Bible number 1. For the love of Christ control us. Wow. Wow. Is that true? The love of Christ control us. We learn in Sunday school today, the generation of Jesus. Don't put a finger in anybody. Just put it on yourself. The love of God control us. Because we are convinced that one has died for all. See, we don't need more sacrifice. We don't need to bring the lamb back here. Therefore, all have died. When you believe in Christ, you die with Him. Verse 15. And He died for all that those who live might live no longer to themselves, but for Him who for their sake died and was raised. It's good to preach the gospel. It's absolutely good. But the gospel without Christian life is dead. We can no longer live for ourselves. We have to live for Him. When we work, we live for Him. When we live in our home, we live for Him. When we go to a school, girls and boys, we do it for Him. And you're going to be successful. We have to live for Him. Forget about anything else. For Him. And when you live for Him, America is going to be number one. Doesn't take your patriotism. Somebody told me, well, Jesus is bigger than America. I hope so. I hope so. I don't want a God who's an American. He's just a tiny little country. I want a God who's in heaven and He can look on it. My friend, is Jesus Christ your Lord? Most of you have Jesus Christ as your Savior. But is He your Lord? Is He controlling you? Is He moving you? You will know that as the people said, how do I know? Very easy. You get your checkbook and see who you write your checks. If there is a check bigger than the church, then you know you love that thing more than God. May I talk to your wife and see how you react in your home and I know if you love God or not? May I talk to your husband? May I talk to your children? I get to know a little bit on Wednesday night when I talk to the young people. I ask a few questions and I get to know what's going on. And I'm proud of my family here at the church. I'm proud. I'm proud of the young people. I'm proud of their studies. Doesn't matter if you become a garbage collector or $100,000 a year or whatever you want to do. Or do it right. And work for the Lord. And you're never going to lose your job. You don't need unions. You need the Lord. And when you work for the Lord, what a country we will be. May God help us. That we live no longer to ourselves. Thank you, Father, for the blessing that comes when we love you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, when you control us. The world will know, our wife will know that we are your children when we behave according to you. We will know when our wife behaves like you want her to behave, that she is a child of God. We will know that our children love you when they behave like you. Control us, oh Father. Move us. Overrule us. That we may shine in this country for your glory. In Jesus we pray. Amen.